got with us this morning. Might as well jump right into it. Brother Waleed's in the house. How are you, Brother Waleed?
I'm better than I deserve. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Oh, we are wrecked this morning, Brother Waleed. We're just in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah. That's what God's presence will do. He'll shrink us and reduce us to nothing so we know He's everything. Amen.
That's about what we've been saying right there. about all morning is what we've been saying. We got Miss Hannah in the house with us, Brother Greg, and then we've got a surprise guest for you this morning. You were a surprise for her, and she's a surprise for you. We got Miss Renee in the house as well this morning.
Hey, hello, Sister Renee. How you doing?
I'm good, Brother Waleed. I just want to let you know that Brother Kenny had your shirt on last month.
Was the anointing leaking out all over?
Yes. He's so proud of that shirt. He loves it. He got him a new pair of slacks, and he said, I'm going to wear Waleed's shirt with this. I said, well, you look good.
Well, next time I see him, Lord willing, I'll have another one for him.
Yeah, he wore it to Passover. He looked pretty nice.
Does it fit him well?
It fits him well, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
he's
good.
He's doing well.
That's fantastic. Send us some of my love and regards and greetings to you, Brother Aaron and Hannah, and the other gentleman. Who's he in the house, you said?
Mr. Greg's in the house.
Greg, how you, Brother Greg? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine.
Glad to hear.
Well, what's the Lord saying to you in this hour, Brother Waleed?
You know, I think one of the words has been comfortable and coasting. And I think from what I've seen, a lot of the churches in the U.S., in Ethiopia for a little bit, I came back. I did an international conference here, so there were a lot of different men from different countries coming in, you know, some from Africa, South Africa, some from the West Indies. But sometimes you get a snippet of what the Spirit's, you know, speaking to the church between the travels and then the travels here in the U.S. and different places. But I do think God is still looking for available hearts. Me and my wife were talking, you know, it's amazing what God can and wants to do with a person who is completely yielded to God. And D.L. Moody heard that and he said, I will be that man. And I think we're as close to God as we want to be. There's as much of the Lord to have as we want. He said, call on me, I'll show you great and mighty things you've not known or seen before. I still dealing, you know, with the challenge. The harvest is amazingly open, broken and open, man, is what I see. And there's every time I was just in Pennsylvania over the weekend preaching up there at the rehab facility, Wilkerson's place, and every time there's an altar call, there's at least 20 to 30 broken lives. Mm. I see them coming out of the worst place of the country, Kensington, Philadelphia. A lot of ladies, a lot of women coming right off the street.
Wow.
As you heard me shared before, some of these women have been literally caged like animals on the side streets and pimped out for money, deeply addicted and just encountering the love and the power of the gospel, seeing some immediately delivered, others progressively. And for the first time encountering God's love, you know, not looking back at the father they never had, but learning to look at the perfect father that they do have now and being that son and daughter, you know, focusing on that and not going in the rearview mirror. But I do think that comfortable, you know, in some ways the church, we've built a machinery in America over the years, and we're kind of sitting back on our knowledge and what we know about God, but we're not seeing the power of God. I think tongues is a fantastic prayer language, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't just about tongues; it's about the power to be a bold witness. Mm. And if we're not witnessing, it makes me question: do we have the power? If we're not a bold witness, then where is the power? And I think God will use people. I mean, the people I see stepping out of the boat, I see God using. You know, those who are just saying, where is the God that we were praying? Where is the God of Elijah? And he's saying, where's the Elijahs for God? And that's really the question. Where are? Well, we can't go back to Billy Graham and all these. Praise God, we learned from all these great warriors who've gone before us. But God wants to raise that up in this generation today. And who's available? And every heart that reaches out. It doesn't matter what the background is. God's looking for that broken, available life. And he will fill it with himself. And that's the amazing thing about Christianity, you know. It's God, it's Christ living in us. You know, Galatians 2:20 said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live now by the faith of his faith. His perfect faith lives in me and through me. You know, and it's interesting. I was in my reading this morning. I was in Luke chapter 8. And I think in Luke 8, I was reading the context there where Jesus went to Gerasene, the demoniac, and then, you know, 26 through 39, and then the people in verse 37, there was an interesting comment that really I never saw before in reading this over the years, but it says that they, because of fear, they asked Jesus to leave. Here he has a great deliverance of a man who's been bound in sin. Nothing the world could give him, the chains of the world, the rehabilitation the world has to offer, the psychology, the meetings with the shrinks. There was really nothing that they could do to help this man walk in deliverance. So they just left him in the graveyard, did the best they can here, just go live up here. And Jesus comes, and we, you know, the story and the deliverance, the 2,000 legions, and he, what a great deliverance. And this man is completely deliverance, and his response is, verse 38, he begged him earnestly just to be with him.
Wow.
Just to be with him. He didn't want to do anything. I just want to be with you, Lord, for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Lord, you saved me. You delivered me. I just want to be with you. And the response of the town in the area is because they were gripped with great fear, it says. They asked Jesus to leave. So they remain in bondage to sin and the devil. And this guy gets delivered, and his response is he wants to run to God and the other people, because of fear, want Jesus to leave. And I think if Jesus' presence really showed up in any of our churches today, I think we'd have a similar reaction. We wouldn't know what to do. We'd think, you got to leave, man. This is too strange. And we welcome strange fire in the house of God that's not prescribed according to the Word of God, doctrines of demons, and other things that make us have great emotions. And we think it's God because of my emotions and how I feel. And it has nothing, and it's not biblically prescribed. And we have to be very careful, you know, in how we build today, you know, and take heed how we build. So, those are a few, I mean, I can keep going on. You guys know I'm a preacher, man. I talk all day. But those are a couple things, and I think we forget that we are saved and sanctified, not just to be a trophy. Look at me. Look at me, man. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. Check me out, you know. But we're saved and sanctified. Why? For God's sake. And like Jesus, who was broken and poured out, you know, broken bread, broken, and then poured out. We're saved and sanctified for God, for him alone, to be with him, to be used and poured out to those around us, to be that broken bread and that wine, that healing balm in Gilead in the lives around us, to be that bold witness, to be that bold witness in the house of God. You know, behold how they love one another. You know, I love that part of Acts 4. You know, we separate the boldness, the power. It's a pretty cool chapter, but the Holy Spirit doesn't separate, and it goes right into the amazing fellowship and communion they had in their church. You know, the boldness of Peter. He's preaching that, and the believers pray for boldness. God comes down, he answers. You know, the place was shaken again. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I love him, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And right after that, in verse 32, it immediately goes, now the full number of those who believed were one heart,
amen,
one soul. You know, and nothing was said to anything their own. They had all things in common. The power of the apostles, the great power of the apostles are giving testimony, great grace. We don't see that as much of a miracle. As, you know, the place shaken and them speaking boldly and God confirming his word. And praise God for that. We should expect that as we preach the word boldly, for God to confirm his word. But he's confirming his word also, and the power of the Holy Ghost was on them. And they were witnesses by how they loved one another. One heart and one soul. You get a bunch of people messed up from different backgrounds. One heart and one soul. That's as much as a miracle. And they, you know, and that's a great testimony. And they were giving testimony to the resurrection of Christ. You know, how can we say we love God and not love a brother who we can't see? You know, so I think the fullness of God is also seen in our love for one another as well. You know, so those are some thoughts. I do think there's a tremendous opportunity for the church or any individual who's willing just to take Christ at his word and go share the gospel. You will see God answer. You know, make that a priority. You know, some of the listeners now, make it a priority every day. I haven't let a soul. I'm not sure. I'm nervous. Pray. Make it a matter of prayer. God, there's lead me to somebody today. I'm asking you, Father, lead me to a soul today. Whether it's at the grocery store, my neighborhood, my family member, just, Lord, lead me today. And then I think as we're getting closer to God and we're hanging out with him, we're going to take on his heart.
That's good.
You know, faith is such a matter of the heart. I think Leonard Ravenhill said we have dry eyes because we have dry hearts. You know, and break me, Lord. Mold me in your image. Give me your heart. Fill me with your compassion, Father. I am the beat-out ambassador. I want to be. What are we living for? What's the sum of all our life, you know? Mm. And I think the measure and character of a person is not but what they live for, but obviously what they're willing to die for.
Wow.
And I really think we have to really evaluate our priorities. The Lord is, so many people, I think, we approach Christianity, you know, we're waiting on God, but he's really waiting on us. He's already commanded, he's already provided the death, burial, resurrection. That same power that raised Christ is in us. You know, Christ is in us. This is Christianity. Christ lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, praise God. And let us go out boldly declaring the death, burial, the sin, the good news. Your sins are paid. The sin problem is taken care of, folks. You know, we're not trying to attain righteousness through the law, through our own effort, through self-reformation, by becoming good enough. And here, now God will love me. And so much identity crisis. And move on. Move on into that grace. Grow in it. It's that broken life he's looking to fill, like that demoniac. That demoniac would go on and be used in Decapolis mightily, testifying of what God did for him, you know. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing some of the people who have been most ravished by the world, desperately destitute,
wow.
You know. I was in the jail the other day at the youth prison here. I'm getting ready to go to court right after here, see if I can help get custody of this kid, a 16-year-old, already got 13, 16, I don't know how many charges he has now, but he's, I went and saw him the other day, and he said, I said, so what are you learning, what are you hearing? He said, that I'm nothing without God. I said, man, that's the smartest thing I've heard you say yet. I'm nothing without God. And if you went through all of this just to get to that, but that's the beginning point. That's the start. I am nothing, John 15, right? Without him, we can do nothing. If any man think himself to be something while he is nothing, you know, and it's that nothingness, that brokenness. We come to the Lord, and he fills us, man, and he'll use us, and he'll pour us out and as we look to be led by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So it's an exciting day and hour, some great opportunity, and I hope some hearts are getting stirred. I hope your listeners, if there's any person out there who has been running away from God, maybe you're backslidden, and you think you're too far gone, and that's just the lie of the enemy. There's no distance too far. There's no hole too deep. That God's arm, his loving arm, won't grasp you. And Jeremiah says, come home. You know, I'll heal the backslider. And every lost person who's not right with God today, that's the word. Come home. Wow. Jesus loves you.
Come on.
Come home. Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? I got some things to work through. What are you going to work through? Jesus is the healer, emotionally, physically, spiritually. He's the one that makes you whole. But I'm not sure about this. He's not asking you. Just come home. He wants your heart, and only one person can give it to him, and that's you. And he loves you. And he has great plans and purposes for your life. But until it falls and dies, you know, God can't do that resurrection miracle in your heart. Give him your brokenness. Give him your fears. Run to him. Don't be like the town of the Gadarenes, who, because you were scared, you chased Jesus away. Be like the desperate demoniac who says, Lord, I just want to be with you. Wow. I've had this world. I'm empty. I'm broken. Wow. I just want you, God.
Wow.
Amen.
So good. Were you listening to us earlier, Waleed?
No.
I'm just kidding. It's the Holy Spirit just speaking the same things. I mean, he's just speaking. And we believe that there's people listening today that are receiving from this. I mean, earlier there was specific prayer going out for our listeners. And I'm just believing that the prodigals are coming home. That's been something that's really been on my heart and those around me lately, is the prodigals. Like, it's time is too short to just think that we have the time. It's just too short. But it's time for prodigals to come home. And we were talking about earlier, you know, home isn't as far away as sometimes we think it is. Home is Jesus.
Amen.
It's him. And, you know, Brother Greg was talking about, you know, sometimes we're running and we're in a dark place, but all we have to do is just turn around. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying. Open your eyes and see that he is there. So, great word.
It's all good,
yeah,
Wally.
I think that's,
it's all good.
Praise God. I think that just one comment is the significance of the word. Being taught, being understood, you know, the expositing of the scripture. Because if people change their mind, you know, then their behavior will follow. And so much of ministry today is preaching against sin, change your behavior, don't do this, don't do that. And there are exhortations and encouragements from the word. But once we understand the living word, because the authority of Christ, he is the written word and he is the living word. And I think, you know, for leaders and preachers and teachers, people who bring the word, it's so important to really connect that word, that application. Here's what the truth of the scripture is, and here's how it applies. This is what God is speaking to us today. This word is alive. And once the people of God, his sheep, hear his voice, receive that word and they understand it, it'll impact their life, you know. It'll change the way they live. They will step out in faith. They'll step out in obedience to the scripture. But that's that changing of the mind. That triggered me. Someone said the changing of your mind, turning around, just repenting. That biblical worldview today, where there's so many other voices out there for our young people, for our congregants, to be hearing, you know, to be comparing. They need to really know the Bible today more than ever. And there's such a lack of that. I see it. Even among, you know, Bible teachers and pastors, they don't really know the word like they should. And it's discouraging at times. And at the same time, I see how they get distracted in other directions. You know, well, let's discuss this and let's discuss that in this conference or whatever. And I'm like, the word says this. Let's look at what the word says. The Bible says this. Are we going to add to or take away? And I think that's where our people, that's where we get anchored in our faith. You know, the Spirit and the Word, that 100% connection, you know, they point to each other. And that's our safety, that's our authority, and our sonship, and our in the living word of God, you know, where we speak the rhema that God shows us. It's not an on-demand button we hit. You know, they walked by the crippled man in front of the temple many times. Mm. But that day, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were given a word. Silver and gold have I none. But I got this word right now, and I'm about to put it on you, son. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be hearing and looking for that word, right? Because Amen. God wants the... Hey, guys, we are jacked up. Every one of us got issues. Mm. But here's the thing. We are it. We are the restraining order.
Wow.
We are the last stronghold from Satan completely taking over this world.
Wow.
We're jacked up and Christ is in us. And when we got the authority of God, and we need to know who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. And we need to step out in faith. Mm. And there's times where he says, just rest in the middle of the storm. And he'll speak to the storm.
Wow.
But we need to really know that. And that's what I see lacking often sometimes. So I think people become open to every wind of doctrine in these last days. And it's concerning because you see people, you know, getting off the word. And I'm like, the Bible's pretty clear on this, guys. What are you reading? What are you not reading?
Who are you listening to?
Exactly. Waleed, as you were speaking, it's been so wonderful. But when you were speaking, you speak as an old soul today, and it makes my heart weep because it goes with everything the Lord was sharing with us today. But, you know, as you were sharing about their hearts were burnt together and they were meshed together as one for the purpose of the kingdom, the ecclesia was living. It was a living organism in the earth, and Messiah was the center, and they were bound together with one common cause, and it was to worship him. And as you're sharing that today, it makes me think about so often churches has become more like a corporate world, or ministries become more like entities rather than something living, that the broken, the tattered, and the torn, those that have no sight, they're blind, can come in and find fresh living water. And so I appreciate your heart today. I appreciate what you've shared, because it's a reminder that Jesus is the center of it all. And we are together in one accord for his purposes, his unity, his mind, and it's to restore that which has been broken. Amen. So good.
And it reveals his glory through broken vessels. Hallelujah. Empty that we might be filled, though. Not an emptying for the sake of just emptying. It's an emptying with a purpose behind it.
Amen.
That God would come and fill. You know, that self-confidence, is that self-reliance, that God-defiance that gets in the way. You know, and when I minister to somebody's broken, I'm like, God, he's not asking you for your strength. He has a lot of that. He doesn't need yours. He is asking for your brokenness, your emptiness, your failures.
Give and you shall receive. You give him all your broken pieces. He gives you peace, joy, happiness. You give that to whoever's around you, and he fills you back up. It's just a continuous pouring. It's the oil that's being poured out into the lamp. You know, we are the light of the world. We are the lamp. You know, and the oil is being poured into us as we pour out, as we burn that oil, and our light glows, and our light shines into the world. You know, he just pours more and more oil into us and lets that light continue to burn.
Amen. And I think in Galatians 2:20, I quoted it, you know, he in me, you know, Christ in me. I was meditating this morning that, you know, that day-to-day, moment-by-moment, you know, the Bible says that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so many times we don't feel the joy of the Lord, and we don't feel where we should as Christians, you know, and we don't think on that self-analysis that creates spiritual paralysis. But so many times we refer to it instead of he in me. You know, it, that experience that I had years ago with the Holy Spirit.
On.
I had this experience I had in this gift that God used me to flow in one time, or this gift that God imparted to me, or this feeling I once had in this worship service. And we keep referring to it, and missing he in me today, now, moment by moment, as you're speaking, brother. Moment and yeah.
That's good.
You know, I've said on here several times, there's some days, you know, I need him moment by moment. You know, I just day-to-day things and the different things that we deal with, you know, it's like, you know, I need him sometimes second by second. I mean, without question, I need him 24/7 all day. I'm just, you know, it's just like I'm crying out to him more and more, sometimes minute by minute, to get me through whatever situation.
Amen. Amen. Need thee every hour. I love that hymn. Yeah. We need to come down there and bring it to the streets, guys.
Yeah, we, you know, we've been talking about how, you know, just humbling, how the Lord humbles us so that we can turn to him, you know, and all these things, you know, that even the bad things that's going on right now, you know, is can be turned around for our good. You know, he takes these broken pieces, you know, and he can put them back together and restore all things. I mean, it's just what you're talking about, and you wasn't listening to us earlier. Is that correct? Would you not? So that, I mean, and it's just going right into exactly. It's just, that's just how he works, the Spirit, how he works. He's just working in this program today, and it's somebody out there needs to hear it. You know, somebody out there. Well, I'm sure, you know, they need to hear this, that you're not alone. You know, that you're not. It ain't just you against everybody. You against the world, and nobody's there. The Lord is there, and he's just waiting for you to turn around. Just turn around. He's right there. Turn around and turn to him.
Amen. Amen. Well, do you have any last things you want to share with us, Waleed? And then we can pray out of here because we have about 3 minutes left.
Oh, I think we need to take what we're sharing out to the communities, each individual, reaching their neighborhood, their Jerusalem, their Samarias, their schools, their workplace, their neighborhoods. And take this out to the neighborhood, the people of God. This is a time to be bolder than ever, not shy away. This is the time where the generation is open around us. Young people are so open. Everywhere I go, they're so open to learn about Jesus. Again, the challenge is people going, not the harvest. The harvest is open. It's Christians going. They're down to 1% right now in the U.S. sharing the gospel. You know, and it's not designed for us just to keep consuming knowledge and more revelation. You know, we're going to end up constipated Christians, excuse the example. We got to get, it's supposed to flow through us, guys.
Yeah. Hey, Wally, can we get you to pray today? I mean, and I'll be a recipient of that prayer too. But can we get you to pray today? Because I believe a lot of people that are listening, because it goes out so many different directions. You know, people get tired, they get frustrated. We talked about that, frustrated with the sin around them, and they just kind of lock up their bowels of compassion because of just frustration. Will you pray for all of us and those that are tuning in today that they will become unstuck and that they will begin to burn with a fresh new passion and a zeal? I know you've got a fisherman's heart. You're very evangelistic. But I think we can just get so burnt out from sin around us. Will you, especially for me, will you pray we get unstuck because we're closing out here?
You know, we can get burnt out with our own sin and our own struggles, to be honest with you. But here's the thing. It doesn't change God's love for us. It's finished in Christ. It's not our own righteousness. We rest in his love, his unconditional love. The grace of God doesn't change. And Father, we come now to that throne of grace to obtain help, mercy in time of need. By the blood of Jesus, you invite us to come boldly, Father. And as your children, Lord, we just submit ourselves to you. We submit our frustrations, Father. Help us to forgive those that are hard to forgive as we've been forgiven, Father, to lay it all at your feet and just realize you don't want me to change myself. You just want my heart, Father. You just want me to turn to you like a child. In childlike faith, Father. And so many times, Lord, our sin has separated us from you, and much of that is in our minds. Your love has not changed. what shall separate us from your love, Father God? No trial, no peril, no failure. We are sanctified in Jesus, and it's a finished work, Father. We rest and receive that. Help them to understand that, Father. It's in you we live and move and have our very being. But there's some out there, Lord, who just need to admit right now they're a sinner and they're not right. They just need to lay at the altar of your feet at the cross, ask for your forgiveness, and just turn away from that. Repent. Change your mind. Change your heart, Father. Make your hearts available. Believe Christ died for you on the cross. Preach the gospel to yourself. Remember what he's done for you. And if you're backslidden and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never confessed Christ before, this is your day. God's calling you right now. Jesus, I turn to you. I admit to you I'm a sinner. Come live in me, Lord Jesus. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust and I follow you today as my Lord and my Savior. Guide my life. Help me to do so in your name and fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Today I renounce the devil. I renounce myself. I give you my heart and my life. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you
so much, Waleed. We'll talk to you
soon.
God bless
you. Thanks for having me. Love you all. Have a great day, everybody. Amen. You too.